which is Anisisa Mutitu versus Gonzalez. And it's Mr. Hagan. Good morning, Mr. Hagan.
Good morning, Your Honor. This is a shorter case than some of the other ones, and I hope we can get to the points and not be too long-winded. My client, basically, this case is an asylum denial case, immigration case, which is based on the immigration judge's denial of my client's request for asylum, based on her fear of female genital mutilation in her country of Kenya.
As I understand, the only issue really is timeliness.
Well, Judge, I think that issue is an issue, and it's one in which we have argued, in which we are. Our position is that the respondent came to this country. She was here for a period of time. She was hoping that the attempt of her in-laws to force her to undergo female circumcision would be abated. While she was in this country, she heard that her brother had been attacked by the relatives of her husband, who their tribe and clan very strongly believed in female genital mutilation, and her tribe had not. She had not undergone it when she was a child. And she had hoped that would abate. This took some time. She then found that her brother had been attacked because he was not by the members of her husband's family, because he had not forced her to undergo this, and told that he himself would be forced to have circumcision if he was not did not force her to return. This is pretty strong.
Counsel, before you get too far down the road on the merits of the timeliness issue, we don't have jurisdiction to review it under the statute unless, of course, under the Real ID Act, there's a legal or constitutional claim implicated, which I didn't see asserted in the briefing.
We're arguing, Your Honor, our response to that in our response brief is that the Real ID Act reinstated the ability of the appellate courts to hear challenges, to hear appeals of judges' determinations of law under the Immigration Act, and this is a judge's interpretation of the law. This power to review had been stripped by the Congress in 1996 with the law called ADEPA and IRIRA.
What is the legal issue that's being raised?
The legal issue is whether or not her delaying 7 months beyond the one-year statute period for filing asylum after arriving in the United States was excusable and waivable, this delay, because there were extraordinary circumstances.
In what sense is that a legal question?
Well, the law says that it must be filed. The law says it's 1 year, period.
Right.
Except for the exception. So the legal question is the judge's interpretation of the extraordinary circumstances clause, escape clause, so to speak, or waiver clause in this exception.
Well, as I understand it, there was no issue of the interpretation of extraordinary circumstances. The question was whether the circumstances she was asserting here qualitatively amounted to extraordinary circumstances, which is not a legal issue.
Your Honor, what the judge did was put a term. We're not talking only about the qualitative reasons that she failed to file within a year. The judge found that she had not filed until 7 months past the one-year period.
That's true, isn't it?
It's true.
Well, and that's not a question of law. It's purely a question of fact, and everybody agrees that's the fact.
But the fact that what the judge said was that
divert the best of her of jurisdiction to do anything about it.
But the judge said that if it had been 3 months, he would have heard the case and considered it, and it would have been okay.
What he actually said was 3 months might have been reasonable.
Might.
But 7 or 10 months was not reasonable.
What we're arguing, I'm sorry, Jim.
Say 3 months was or would have been okay.
But I'm not. Why does he raise three at all then? I mean, he's saying that there are reasonable periods of time, and he's arbitrarily picking three.
But he's not making a legal determination gives us jurisdiction to review.
Well, it's an interpretation of the law, Your Honor. That's
no,
what
he's ruminating about whether she would have been closer to the deadline, what his determination of extraordinary circumstances and whether she met the standard would have been or might have been. It's not a legal determination or an interpretation of the statute.
Well, when he says 3 months, I mean, 3 months is 3 months in our dictionary.
Well,
he didn't say
3 months as a matter of law constitutes extraordinary circumstances.
It then begs explanation as to why he would have mentioned 3 months. Obviously, he had in mind the fact that there were extraordinary circumstances which she did not fit into. And
he shouldn't have said 3 months, of course not, but he did. But he was ruminating, it would seem, sort of like dicta, I guess.
Judge?
I mean...
He was on the record, Your Honor.
Well, might have been on the record, but maybe he was dead wrong in saying he could do anything for 3 months. If you want to go to discussion of law, our discussion might be ended abruptly, and we say as a matter of law, he couldn't have done it even in 3 months. It was out of time, and that's the end of that.
Well, again,
that's a question of law, right?
A question of law. I mean, whether the judge correctly interpreted this is a question.
Why do you... Let's bottom line it. Why do you think you fit within the exception? The forbidding of judicial review of his decision regarding the one-year deadline.
Was the ID, the Real ID Act, I'm sorry, not the Real ID Act, I'm off on the wrong track. We feel we fit within the exception because she tried. She went to a legal services free Catholic Charities in Wisconsin, and they took some time. She had no idea what the deadline was. She's not a lawyer. They took some time. They got affidavits. If you see in the record, 6 affidavits obtained from her family in Africa. That takes some time. And they went ahead and then filed the appeal. And we would also point this out, Your Honor, and just to make sure I have this stated, is that besides asylum, she is has applied for relief, withholding relief under the Act, as well as under the Convention on Torture. Now, the government is going to argue and has argued that she didn't raise that. I'm proactively responding that we did raise that in page 37 of our brief. But to be more clear, Your Honor, it doesn't seem unreasonable that she took some time to find legal counsel and for that counsel to put together a case and to file it. And that's why we feel that the judge was simply arbitrary in stating that. I mean, he was arbitrary in a lot of other ways in his whole evaluation of African culture and African customs and that sort of thing, and arbitrary in this. That's my answer to that.
You're in your rebuttal time rather severely. So.
Yes, I'd like some.
Good morning, Ms. Diamond Kelting.
May it please the court, Melissa Diamond Kelting on behalf of the Attorney General. The law of the circuit is clear that this court is without jurisdiction to review the IJ's finding that was affirmed by the board that Ms. Mutitu did not fall under the exceptional circumstances exception to the one-year filing deadline.
Do you read the IJ's decision on the timing of her application as expecting her to have been looking for an attorney and filling out her asylum application during the one-year period that she was legally in the United States?
The IJ, in this opinion, I believe, Your Honor, page 6 of his decision, does elaborate on the fact that in this case, Ms. Mutitu was aware of the circumstances underlying her claim for asylum before she came to the United States. She came to the United States on a Q1 cultural visa to work at Disney World, and at page 101 of the record testified that she had every intention of returning back to Kenya at the end of her visa expiration. She then said toward the end of her visa expiration time, which I believe was June of 2002, she had considered that she would want to look for a way to stay in the United States, and a friend mentioned asylum. Here, the immigration judge noted that her fear stemmed from incidents arising before she came to the United States, but she waited still 2 years, knowing that her visa would expire in June of 2002, did not take any steps until the end of that expiration, and that the lengthy delay, in fact, while petitioners had asserted below that it was 7 months, the IJ correctly found that it was actually 10 months from the expiration of her visa to the filing of her asylum application. And as the regulation makes clear, it was Ms. Mutitu's burden to show to the satisfaction of the immigration judge that she filed within a reasonable time period. But this court has found expressly in Vasili versus Gonzalez that even after the Real ID Act, this court is without jurisdiction to review the agency's finding that an applicant did not fall under the exceptional circumstances exception to the one-year time bar. And the government submits that case as directly on point, as the applicant in that case also abandoned his withholding and CAT claims.
Now, she isn't really asking us to review the IJ's factual findings on the timeliness decision. She's saying his conclusion was arbitrary, right?
Well, it appears that she's trying to shoehorn what has been clearly stated is a factual determination and a discretionary determination into a question of law, which this court has found that she cannot do. She has not. The only published case post-Real ID that discusses any review over extraordinary circumstances is the Mabasa case, which the government distinguished in its brief. There, this court found that the legal issue was that the agency viewed the applicant's claim under extraordinary circumstances, and that was never the assertion they were making the entire time. They were submitting changed circumstances. That's how this court was able to find that it had jurisdiction, because it was a legal error for the board to find no extraordinary circumstances when the petitioners in that case were never asserting extraordinary circumstances. They were asserting changed circumstances. Here, Ms. Mutitu has no legal or constitutional challenge that she can submit. She argues that the IJ's finding was arbitrary and that it wasn't reasonable, but that challenges the discretionary determination of the immigration judge that 10 months, in his view of the evidence in this case, 10 months was not a reasonable delay for her to file her asylum application.
Okay.
And beyond that, Your Honor, I would submit that while counsel has now stated at oral argument that the withholding and CAT claims are before the court, despite stating in the government's brief our assertion that these claims were not exhausted and have been abandoned, and in the MIMA case, this court has clearly stated that even stating the words in your argument heading is insufficient. Here, the words were not stated anywhere in the argument heading, in the summary of the argument, or in the issues. In the reply brief, petitioner merely states that on page 36, he did put forth, she did put forth a CAT claim. There was no dispute that the withholding claim has been abandoned, but nonetheless, simply mentioning the words Convention Against Torture is insufficient to sustain the argument on review. So the government's position in this case is that because the only issue is the timeliness, and the court's case law is clear that the court is without jurisdiction to review that issue on appeal, the government respectfully requests that the court deny the instant petition, or pardon me, dismiss the instant petition. Unless there are any further questions, we'll submit on our brief.
Thank you,
Your Honors.
Obviously, Your Honors, there's a difference of opinion on this, and that's what makes court cases. I would like to point out a couple.
Otherwise, you'd all have to go out and find out at work. So,
They don't have to find out if...
I say if there weren't differences of opinion, the rest of us would all have to go out and find
that's
out.
That's right.
Court,
we so wouldn't even be going here. Again, the government is talking about exceptional circumstances, which is what we're talking about. The government just said, you know, that the judge had found
this. But his decision that this is not a timely... It doesn't fall within the classification. It's a factual determination, not a legal determination. And we don't have jurisdiction to play games with that, do we?
Well, again, Judge, I think that it's a question of legal in the sense that...
Well, in the sense that it's a law case, yeah. Other than that, it's, yeah. It's very little to do with decision-making and at law. Fine, well, the statute's fairly clear that he's got authority to exercise his own discretion. He exercised discretion, and that's the end of that.
But we're saying that he wrongly exercised the discretion.
But that we can't review.
Well,
that's
again,
not a question of law.
Our argument is that he's trying to make law in effect. He's trying to say something which adds to the law and putting a number 7, and I do believe it is 7 in here. He's trying to put a number on what the law says.
What number would you say?
I would say it depends on the circumstances.
So
I can see cases where...
He determines what the circumstances are. We don't.
Well, he's the circumstances.
Look, you're doing a noble job.
I know.
The differences of opinion are interesting.
Well, I would say again that I would ask the court to review our entire argument. This brief was written by my colleague, Mr. Godfrey Mwangi, and I think he's done a very good job in quoting the real ID and what it means. I can't presume to be as knowledgeable as he is about either the law issue or the customs in Africa, which is, I think, what really is the heart of this case. I think this judge totally looked wrongly at the whole issue of FGM, the forcefulness of it, the ritual, the culture of Africa. And I think that's the heart of this case.
And I don't want you to think by anything that we set up here that anybody here agrees that what goes the custom in Africa is anything other than outrageous and barbarous. So,
I understand that. Okay. I would also ask that, and one final thing, that the government, that you look at page 37 and of our brief, and we mentioned CAT, and we mentioned also the withholding. We don't go into a large argument, but that was inartful, but we do mention both of those as part of our whole case, and I would like to add that.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Your Honor.
Mr. Hagan, thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement.